Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning into Expressing You with Cornelia, a weekly show about feeling your way into wholeness. For men and women, processing our emotions is our way to freedom, and taking ownership for how you feel is the first step. We invite you to sit back and listen, take notes, or if you would like to ask a question, please call 1-877-296-0345. Cornelia also does sessions by phone or Skype. For more information, go to www.corneliadengel.com.
Hello and welcome to Expressing You. I'm your host, Cornelia Dengel. Thank you for tuning into this wonderful show about feeling your way into wholeness. This show is for men and women. And we're talking about processing our emotions and feeling our feelings. That is our way to freedom. Feeling our feelings is healing them. And taking ownership for how you feel is the first step. I'm always going to remind you to give yourself permission to feel everything. Because when you give your feelings a voice, the need to judge anything vanishes. All feelings want to be acknowledged, and doing the investigative process will honor that. You can find out more about how to do the investigative process at my website, corneliadengel.com. There's an article there that's called Emotions 101. Print out the processing technique. It's free. There is an area that is going to allow you to go into the dialogue and always asking the questions on any given subject. Whenever you feel triggered emotionally, to ask yourself this question, what is this about? Go ahead and check out the technique. It's free and ready for you to download. In my travels this week with my clients, one of my clients gave me another tool that reminded her a lot of my processing techniques, and so I wanted to share it here on the show today, and it's called Soul Stop. Soul Stop. So you write the word stop, soul down, and then S for stop, O for observe what I'm feeling, U for understand, what is this about for me, and L for love. Because really, in the end, that's the place that you want to get to, is you want to get to releasing the feelings, the old feelings, and loving yourself through it. Very special thank you goes to Michelle for creating this wonderful platform on Authentic You Media Network. We invite you today to sit back, listen and take notes. You may also call in if you have a question about being stuck in a relationship or you're feeling upset and you don't know what the feeling might be attached to. You can call in at 1-877-296-0345. And today is the second Friday of the month, and we have on Lorna Gale. Lorna's passion is to support individuals in feeling at home in their body, learning ways to access the voice and wisdom of their body, and living erotically alive and sexually whole. Welcome back to the show, Lorna.
Cornelia, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It's hard to believe that it's already the second Friday of the month, isn't it?
I know it is. A month ago already, yes. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. And it's wonderful because actually I've had you on a couple times here now, and we also did another interview with you on another show where we talked more in-depth about your life at the Global Ascension Center Juice Bar Show. And so callers can listen to that interview as well because it was very extensive with some of the things that we covered. But the reason that we're back here today in the second Friday of every month is because we want to talk with you more about how we can use our body to feel more sensual and really fall in love with discovering and exploring our sexuality. And that is really kind of our ongoing theme for the next month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So last month we were talking more about the core wound shame, right? Feeling shameful around our sexuality. You were talking about the shroud of shame, feeling ashamed, you know, with some of the things that we might have experienced, like sexual abuse. And so I was just wondering if you can give our listeners kind of like a recap of the shroud of shame.
Certainly, I'm happy to. I remember relating a bit about in a context of my sexual awakening, which was midlife. And a part of that was just what it came down to almost in some ways, that number one is we come from sex. I mean, that's how we're created into this physical form. And so it's an interesting thing how so often in our culture we have this idea that there's something wrong or shameful about this. And in the context of my own sexual awakening, in terms of really connecting into that aspect of myself as a being, there was almost the shame of even the existence that I existed. So, you know, there was really a deep peace from there, as if there's something shameful about that I am even here. So, and then oftentimes the different ways that shame shows up, can come up in, you know, our appearance, you know, the whole thing, say, about body image and, you know, what we're supposed to be or what we think we're supposed to be. And so it's just really that piece about how do we come back into this place of seeing that who we are right now is whole and is really amazing and awesome, and there is no need to be ashamed of anything. Those are just the stories that we have. And, you know, coming back into this piece about these core wounds is the idea that those are just things that get put in place to be able to allow us to have a certain experience. And when that experience is done, that shroud of shame can, like a garment, be either seen through, like the emperor's new clothes, realizing there was really nothing there to begin with, or, you know, the idea of it, you know, taking this garment off.
Right. And, you know, a lot of that, I mean, even as you were talking, I was just thinking about, you know, even applying the processing technique right there, you know, what is this about? What am I feeling about? Mm-hmm. What is this about with my body, right? And a lot of it, do you think that a lot of it has to do also with self-acceptance with the body?
Certainly. And I would say it's an interesting thing. You think, you know, I have my little 8-month-old grandson. And, you know, does he look in the mirror? Is he concerned about what he looks like? You know, it's just kind of no. You know, is he concerned about, you know, what he looks like when he cries, or, you know, how is his hair doing? And he has a wonderful new little haircut. But, you know, this whole thing about, like, at what point do those stories get put on, or where do we take them on at? So it's not the natural state of who we are, you know, in this, the whole thing of just being. And so to be able to look at how they start to take shape and often get reinforced, and we have this idea that this is who we are, and somehow there is something unacceptable about who I am, just as I am.
Right, and then, you know, that unacceptable piece, you know, again, one of the other core wounds is not feeling worthy, not being good enough. That's another core wound, and the not worthiness piece is a low self-esteem, a low self-worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
not feeling good enough in your own body, not feeling good enough about your body, or even being in our body,
mm-hmm.
not loving
mm-hmm.
our body, right?
Right.
And so
I think it's
do you see that? Yeah.
You know, I was just going to say that I think that it does show up. And, you know, it's fascinating how, you know, that's the thing about that we're not worthy. Like, where does that come from? And I in one of our other conversations, you know, we talked about the thing, you know, and I referred to Betty Martin's work, the thing about consent. You know, where do we as little children even have this idea that our voice doesn't count, or what we're feeling doesn't matter? You know, if I'm supposed to go and kiss grandma goodbye when I don't really want to. And so somehow even those things get built into that the unworthiness to be able to even honor what I'm feeling and what I would choose to do, or what it feels right for me in my body. And so I think that's a big piece.
Right. And then it just becomes a lifelong conditioning where,
mm-hmm.
We're just continuously covering up and feeling either ashamed or not good enough and not connected in our bodies. Always, you know, always going back to that core wound of not being enough, right? Or, again, feeling ashamed.
Yeah.
So do you see this play out a lot in the work that you do with people, you know, not people not loving their bodies?
I do. You know, it even shows up, you know, as simple as when I start with a client, you know, and again, referring to Betty Martin's work and some of the work that's been done in Body Electric, is that we call it a 3-minute game, and just in terms of, you know, well, what would you like? You know, I start with just their hand. You're like, how would you like me to touch your hand for the next 3 minutes? And, you know, some people, you know, and again, men and women of all ages, you know, all the way from, you know, 25 up to 75, you know, it's kind of this idea of asking for that want or being able to say it. It's kind of like, really? Like, I don't know. Or like, I can really ask for that. And it shows up in a lot of different ways. I remember a 73-year-old client that I have, when I went through a session with her of just, you know, allowing her to just request the kind of touch that she wanted, she said, that's the first time I've ever been given permission to really ask for what I want. And I think that somehow that it's perhaps part of a feedback loop, even, of that whole idea of that I'm not even worthy to ask for what I want. Like, you know, even the idea of, like, somebody saying, like, you would do that for me? You know, it's just, it really shows up of, yeah, you know, you are worthy, you are deserving. So all of these different ways where it does show up, that this idea that I don't deserve to be touched the way that that I would like. I don't deserve to even ask for that. I don't deserve to, and, you know, in this work of sexual wholeness, is that somehow we have the idea even that we're supposed to perform a certain way, or that we have to give out, so to speak. You know, we have to be able to do this or that because of somebody else. And if we don't, you know, what does it mean about us and about a relationship? And, you know, and I think about even that with a lot of our younger kids, you know, and women, younger women perhaps. It's this idea that I have to be able to do a certain thing to be liked, to be loved. So it just really, I see that in my adult clients, this idea that how many times they have said yes to something that really in their body that just felt like no, no, no. And other times it felt like yes, but, you know, it felt like, oh, no, I have to say no. You know, so it's just really many ways where we haven't really honored what was there, because at some level it feels like I don't deserve to have this. I don't deserve to ask for it. I don't deserve to receive, and receiving is a really big thing. It's a huge piece, and a huge component of my work is just supporting people in that practice of receiving. Just, you know, you don't have to give back. Just let me touch your hand. Just let me touch, you know, stroking along your body. And, you know, you don't have to do anything back. Just receive that. And it comes from a big part where that our self-worth and that deservingness comes by how much can I give back? How much can I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because, again, when you keep talking about deserving and not feeling good enough, you know, that that the lack of value, and again, that's that core wound of unworthiness, not good enough. Can you imagine how many people are walking around feeling like they have no lack of value, that they don't deserve respect, that they don't deserve to, like you said, to be touched, that they don't deserve to live the life of their dreams, that they don't deserve, that they feel that they don't, and that they actually need permission from someone that gives them permission and says, you know, how would you like to be touched? You know, that is just mind blowing sometimes to even. But that's really what's going on, isn't it?
It is. And as I mentioned, one of our conversations also, that piece about being congruent, and I use the visual, the metaphors, of that little bike lock, you know, the three little combination bike lock, that when all of those numbers are in place, you know, for the combination, then you can open and close the lock. And that's what the visual that I use for inside of the body as that place of being able to feel, and again, the word that I use is congruent, that all of those things are lined up. And that's where it feels the flow is happening, and where I'm honoring this life I'm living, this life that is living me, in terms of that place. And I think that how that feels in the body when I'm coming from this place of not feeling worthy, it feels like one of those feelings, like kind of that,
yeah,
you know, that,
yeah,
jarring feeling we have. And so mm-hmm. it shows up in all kinds of ways, and I'm not worthy, you know, there's that cringing that happens inside. So that's why I really love using the body as a way to really help us recognize where we're operating from any of those places, those core wounds, because when that ease is there within, that it's like that those core wounds aren't in activated state, you know, that we're not operating from that. We're operating from this place of flow and ease, and receptivity and the goodness of that we are. And so that's
right.
That's where I really,
yeah,
like to come back to that feeling state within the body as a indicator.
Right. So that because the bottom line is that we're making choices continuously that are either basically reflecting us being worthy or reflecting
mm-hmm.
us not being worthy by saying no and by, you know, continuously keep feeling disconnected from our bodies or from our life or whatever it might be, because we're continuously, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many choices that we get to make in any given day, and it's
mm-hmm.
either you're going to practice making choices that are based on worth and value and deserving
mm-hmm.
and loving and
mm-hmm.
Honoring, loving
mm-hmm.
our bodies, you know. And so do you work with clients and assist them into loving their bodies and helping them with that? Is that, do you see that played out in the work that you do as well?
Absolutely, and it's such a great joy to do that. And it happens in many ways. Sometimes it is simply in their being able to receive touch. Oftentimes I use mirror work as well, where the people are in front of the mirror, you know, clothed or unclothed, and just to be able to see themselves in that way. And with me there is witness. There's something about the power of being witnessed that just is really, it's like this laser thing that just really allows people to be able to see through the shame and let that shame and that unworthiness start to arise, to be able to see into the magnificence of who they are. And so, yes, there's definitely this that comes up in my work. And yeah, it's an amazing thing to, you know, have a simple thing. I think back to, you know, about a month and a half ago or so, I saw a woman, and she was, in her late 50s, early 60s, and was our first session together. And it was basically just giving her permission to stand where she wanted in the room. She was fully clothed. And where would you want to stand in the room? Again, what does it feel like in your body? Using that as that barometer or as that that compass, if you will. And just, okay, where do you want to stand in the room? And, okay, so she stood exactly where she wanted to in the room. Okay, now where do you want me to stand so that you can feel that ease and peace within your body? So she directed me there, and I just stood there. And then a little while later, she just asked, okay, could you stand now over towards me, in front of me, over a little bit to the right, back up a little bit forward to the left, okay, right
wow.
there. And just being there, it was, she just stood there and just tears streaming down her face, that place about, wow, just to being accepted exactly as she was, even to those little tiny incremental pieces, to be able to really, you know, not to have to go with any little bit of that jarring piece inside, but what does it feel like when it is totally, really lined up? And that place that, yes, I'm accepted just with that. I don't have to give up or settle for anything. It's just I can really, truly honor that.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You know, I'm sure that is the part that gives you really the tremendous joy to see that another person, you know, this is what I what I feel as well in, you know, in the work that I do with my clients as well, is being a witness to their pain.
Yeah.
And being able to sit with them in it without without needing anything to be fixed, without anything, just that total acceptance where they can totally be, having it all come up to the surface as the woman did by turning to the left or turning to the right, you know, that piece, and, giving them the space, giving them the space in the witnessing that we all want, that we all need.
And that's where I start with that work, because it's as people, as we do this work together, it translates into what's happening in their relationships, in their home life, in their work life. And so to be able to just really tune into this, then when they go home, into their partner relationships, into an intimate relationship, all of a sudden they can identify, what does it feel like in my body to be able to say yes or no in any type of a given situation. So that's where just starting with almost a neutral place. It's not about a sexual connection. It's not about that. It's how do we connect in this personal place so that then they can take that home and continue to practice that and feel from their bodies that place of acceptance of themselves.
Because you experience that people, there's just a deep disconnect with our bodies, right? There's just been and do you see that in the same for men and women?
I do. And I would say a big part of it comes from the thing of people just really, we can go back to, or look at maybe how it shows up or how it starts to get formed. But that idea of that it's not okay to feel what I'm feeling. And, and the various ways that we start to cover up or deny or suppress or divert what we're feeling. And so it's just somehow it becomes sometimes the sense of wrongness that what I'm feeling isn't okay. Or if I'm feeling this, it means I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. And so then to be able to allow them to be able to look at the stories that are showing up, and then how do we let those words and those stories take us to the sensation that's ready there to be felt, the energy that is ready there to move, to dance as life. And so that's a big part of the work that I do as well. As you and I have spoken about, Cornelia, is that beautiful place where our works intersect. It's just the piece of supporting people to feel.
Absolutely. I love that piece. That's so great. That's exactly it. Allowing people to feel and release those old feelings. So how can we be more loving with our bodies, more intimate, right now? So what can we give the listeners right now? How we can be more loving, more intimate. Last time you had us just notice our genitals, I think, is what you had us do, and I think you had us just kind of place our hands there and breathe there, which, it even sounds funny to say this on the radio. It sounds weird. It sounds funny to say this out loud, but that's what you had us do. And so what can we do now today to be more loving and more intimate with our bodies? What do you recommend?
Two things come up. One of those is to be able to just look in the mirror and just, to be able to just look in the mirror with a soft gaze. And just to feel in the body as you're looking there, with that not a judgmental, analysis type thing, but just that almost that witnessing of yourself that here I am, and just that place of gentleness and compassion. And when it starts to feel like, there's this hard look or, the thoughts and stories start to arise, it just kind of soften the gaze, soften the heart, and just be there in this place of being there, right there as witness to myself. The power of the mirror. And then the other one is actually to be able to, even if it's just to yourselves, is to be able to acknowledge something that you enjoy about yourself as a sexual erotic being. It might be a certain place that you like to have touched. Maybe it's the inner ankle or the inner wrist, or maybe it's, you know, to be able to have a certain ambiance. But just to think about what it is that you enjoy, and, it, you know, again, sometimes when we think about sexuality, we think of somebody else, you know, in terms of a partner type engagement, and it's not necessarily that. Sometimes, and for many people, intentionally, it's a solo sex experience, and, you know, which is such a rich, deep experience, and what a beautiful way to begin any type of a partner thing is by having that, what I call is be your own best lover. And so that would be that thing about start to recognize, what is it that I really enjoy about being a sexual erotic being?
That's a great question. That's great, Lorna. What is it that I really enjoy about being a sexual erotic being?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to have the listeners work on this month.
And also
standing with themselves. But can you tell us give us again the definition of erotic?
Erotic, the way that I use the word, and, you know, there'll probably be a different people will say it. The way that I use the word erotic is basically it's that life force energy that is there and inherent in life. And when we access that, and often the genitals can be an erotic generator, like generating the energy of that. And so it's really tapping into that life force energy that, is the juice and the fuel of life, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the sexuality piece would be just how do we express that, or how does that get acted upon and expressed and played with?
Give me the question again. The question, how do we like to be touched?
In terms
what,
of...
What was the question you wanted to have
for our listeners? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
In terms of what is it that I enjoy about being a sexual erotic being?
Oh, yeah. What is it that mm-hmm. I enjoy?
But, and just let it be. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know, some people think, oh, it has to be this great big... No, it doesn't. It can be just as small as, like I said, I love even myself just, you know, enjoying the, you know, the stroking of my inner ankle and just the deliciousness of that. You know, and just to be able to, and I think that the erotic part comes in is just it's simply almost the enjoyment of life, life's enjoyment of itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is so great. I think that, us talking about it is really, it's really a huge thing, you know, it's really giving mm-hmm. people permission to feel into this and really, make a connection with their body and discover more intimacy and let go of some of the old stories that mm-hmm. are not the truth of who we really are. And so that is making the world a better place. And so, Laura, how do people... go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's great. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. How do people find you? How do people find you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Basically, come to my website, lornagale.com. That's LORNAGALE.com. And there you'll be able to see some of my upcoming events and some of the ones that I've had, which is really neat. Also some workshops and trainings that I do. And there the people will be able to see the wide range of the practices that I do offer. And some of those are in person, some of those are in distance, whether it's globally. In order for those people who are, you know, inquiring, would like to inquire about working with me, I do offer 30-minute free consultations. That gives an opportunity for people to share with me what's up, and I can share with them what I offer, and then we come up with something of how we can work together. And while they're on my website, there's the newsletter there, and it only takes just a minute to sign up for that. And when they sign up, they'll have the opportunity to get more updates on the events that are going on, as well as some VIP updates and invites. And there's also Facebook. So it seems to be a really wonderful way to connect. So they can find me at facebook.com/eroticallyalive. And I look forward to meeting people there.
That's so wonderful. It's so awesome to talk to you. It's so delicious to talk to you about this. I'm so grateful that you are part of the Expressing You radio network here, and that we are you know, sharing this information with our listeners. And and I look forward to having you on again in next month, the second Friday of next month. So
wonderful.
Thank you so much,
Cornelia.
Lorna.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I love being here. Okay.
Thank you. Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye for now.
Feeling emotionally balanced is a key to feeling good. Thank you for listening and feeling your feelings. Each week, you will come away with practical tools, inspiration, and empowerment. Would you like to schedule an empowerment session? Go to www.corneliadengel.com. Feeling it is healing it.